with Mo. My name is Mo Reese. More with Mo is brought to you by the fine people at JulieLand.com. Today, as always, I'm joined by the man who has handled so many girls, he should open his own talent agency, Mr. Richard Avery.
I've mishandled, not handled.
How are you doing today, Richard?
I'm doing great, actually. I'm pain-free.
Now, you have a little website called Porn Star Life Coach.
Yes.
So you give out advice to the girls out there, you know.
Well, it's not me. It's just everybody's contributed.
Everybody over the years. Yeah. Different girls.
Different
like
people.
That.
Everybody from Paul Fishbein to everybody's written articles.
And so what do we think about agencies?
I think they're great.
Oh, really? Did we change
except
our,
for
did we
one
change
thing,
our stance
except
on that?
For one thing, but we'll get into that.
Okay. Well, today, I ask you this because we brought in the owners of one of the newer talent agencies that's, I believe, over a year old now, Next Level Talent. We brought in owners Andre Madness and Jonathan Morgan. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
It's going really good.
So during the podcast, are you guys actually going to be taking calls from your talent if they call you?
If the phone rings, we're picking it up.
We're picking it up. And can we listen to the call?
It depends on who's calling.
Okay. So I've known Andre. He actually got me into the industry, unfortunately, about 9 years ago.
So we blame him?
We blame him. And I've known Jonathan for about 3-4 years now.
Because you came on pretty... Once I hired Andre to be my production manager over at Wicked Pictures, it was you were the first of the many recommendations that he gave me as far as quality people to hire that actually knew what they were doing. So if I've been with him for 5 years, yeah. I would say I'd have to be with you less than three.
Something like that. So I've been on set with you guys as both of you as directors for a number of years, 50 movies combined probably. So you guys, for some reason, decided to come up with this crazy idea to still direct, still produce, but then open a talent agency, which most directors hate.
Yeah.
So why did you choose to do that?
Well, the reason why we started up the talent agency is basically because both Andre and I, we kept running into this wall of frustration where the people that were saying that they were quote-unquote agents were basically people that were, I'll give them the credit, that were intelligent enough to know to where to get a business license to become an agent. But other than that, they had really no clue. Hell, most of them have never been on a porn set, let alone can give any advice when it comes to a porn set. So it's almost like saying, I always like to use the analogy of, imagine if you wanted to become the world's greatest brain surgeon and the person who's teaching you is bagging your groceries at Whole Foods. So with that being said, over the years, Andre and I were, you know, constantly trying to educate and school these agents on what we need as directors to benefit us. And because it has to be a symbiotic relationship, it has to be where everything is working so that it not only is their clients happy, but we're happy and everyone's making money, and that's the ultimate goal. So what ended up happening is, after years and years of me just venting to Andre on set about how awful these agents were, he said almost like a joke, well, if you're done bitching about it, why don't you just reinvent the wheel? And like a light bulb going off, I said, you know what? That actually sounds like an amazing idea. So that's where it started. A small little seed of sarcasm grew a tree of success.
That's how this podcast started. So, hey, you know, the stranger things have happened. So what do you think your biggest complaint as a director would be about a talent agent, Andre?
Well, first, as a production manager, I'd always give out information at least 3 times, you know, well over a month in advance, 2 weeks in advance, and a few days before. And one of the biggest pet peeves I've always had is the talent never came to set prepared, yeah, with the script, with the right wardrobe, or anything, just to, you know, to make our show what we put into it, which is all that preparation. One of the biggest things that I've always heard is, oh, if I only knew what the wardrobe was, I had that. Or if I only had the script before last night at midnight, I would have had that memorized. And so that's one of the things we stand, I believe we still stand out as the only agency that the moment we get information is the moment our talent gets information. And we hound those producers and directors today to get us that information well in advance so that they don't ever get on set unprepared or or you know, show up without the right attire.
Yeah, it's almost like the fact that as directors, again, we might not know certain little things like the location, or maybe we haven't broken down a shooting schedule and have a call time. But there's basic information that we absolutely know right then and there. If I'm hiring you for, you know, a lawyer movie, well, I'm probably going to want you to be dressed in some kind of lawyer clothes. So I can give along that information, pass that along, because a lot of people may not have that wardrobe. But if they were given several weeks in advance, they probably would go out and prepare themselves as opposed to a few hours. What I've found is from a lot of the agents, and again, just because it's their thinking doesn't mean it's the correct thinking. And a lot of these agents, they've instantly kind of blanketed their talent with, if we gave them all the information on wardrobe and location and call time and who they're working with in advance, because they shoot so much, they're going to become confused and will bring the wrong wardrobe to the set or have a misunderstanding. So we try to simplify it by giving it to them the night before. I think that's absolutely ludicrous, because now you're just assuming that no one could handle any advanced information. So just like Andre was saying, we've set up a system where the instant we get the information, our talent is given that information. And we do hound them constantly about, give us this, give us this, give us
and
this.
As a production manager, you are one of the two agencies that actually hounds me for information. And as a production manager, sometimes you're at the mercy of the director, who may be involved in different projects. And listen, I don't have the info yet. Here's what I have, but I don't always like sending in complete info, because then there can be confusion. It's like I like sending everything out all at once. But if I've taken too long to get you guys info, I definitely get a text from one of you guys of going, hey, so what about this? So now my question goes to, and I brought this up with Layla Sin, who was a guest on the show. And I asked her, because she's one of the most professional talent that I've ever come across. And she's the Penthouse Pet of the Year. And she represents the brand very well. But how she represents herself on set is amazing. My question is the agents get blamed most of the time when something goes wrong. How much responsibility do you put it on the talent to know what's going on? This is their career. They should know, hey, they should be going to their agent, when am I working? And they should know the companies they're working for, especially when it's a repeat company, say Wicked or Penthouse or Adam and Eve. There's always going to be a script or a specific thing. How much responsibility do you put on the talent to say, hey guys, get your career together, know what you're doing, and stop blaming us necessarily, or stop blaming your agent? How much responsibility do you put on the talent?
Well,
I was just going to say that we go through a pretty strict interview process, both with our talent and our talent, you know, vice versa towards us. So we try and weed out and pick those that are going to be the most responsible, the most reliable, the ones that can carry on the reputation that both Jonathan and I have had as directors in this industry, and show up on time and be motivated to do the best job they can possibly do. So that in itself, one, is the biggest reason why we still don't have the largest roster in the industry, and we still keep it, maintain it tight. But our girls, you know, are 100% always. We have this sense of accountability. They hold us accountable for certain jobs as an agent. We hold them accountable for certain jobs as talent. And together, we're just progressively rowing the boat in the same direction, and everyone's going for the success. And even beyond that, teaching them that every time you go onto a set, you're not impressing just one director. You're not impressing one person. You're impressing an entire crew of people who are going to be on another set then and beyond, and you know, for Penthouse, Adam and Eve, Hustler, whomever. We really haven't had too much at all problems with that necessarily accountability, because we're constantly in communication. We constantly hold each other accountable. And both Jonathan and I do that for each other as well. So.
Yeah, and it all comes down to exactly what Andre said, which is it's that first beginning stages, which is where we are basically sitting down with potential clients. They're not only interviewing us as potential representation, but more importantly, we're also interviewing them. Are they going to be the type of people that we can get not only work with, but we're thinking two steps ahead, which is flourish. a lot of girls, and you've been on sets plenty of times, Mo, so a lot of girls, they don't take this as a job. They take it as a hobby. And those aren't the ones that we're looking to get associated with. Because we're keeping our roster extremely tight and a very small number, 20 to be exact, Andre said it best. He goes, we might not have the largest roster. We only have the best, which means that the people that we're dealing with, again, there's always going to be the, you know, everybody has their moments, you know, where they slip a little bit. But consistently throughout, they're going to be the most professional, the most, when they get onto a set, what is it, set etiquette prepared. They're going to have a crystal clear understanding of what is expected of them, what is needed of them, and how to succeed. And I, of course, always say this. It's the old analogy. You know, you could lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. We can give, I mean, Andre's been in this 24 years. I've been in this 26 years. So with 50 years of experience, we can give all of that to them, but we can't force them to accept it. Thank God, knock on wood, most of the time they do follow what we have. And that is why the success has come quite quickly for a lot of them. But again, we have found ourselves beating our heads against the wall going, why aren't you listening?
Well, that's why one of the reasons I created Porn Star Life Coach 5 years ago. Pornstarlifecoach.com, I always tell people, I got everybody to write stuff. And because I bitch and complain about the girls all the time. And my whole thing was like, you want to be successful. You want to make money. Otherwise, why are you doing this? And then like, so, and then every girl always looks up to some girl. I want to be like Jada Stevens. I want to be like Bobby Starr. And I'm always like, well, they do things a certain way. So you need to emulate what they're doing. And so we have tons of articles, and it was always like, read these articles about set etiquette. Read articles not written by me, but written by Phoenix Marie on how to do good proper anal scene, or read about how to be successful in the business by all these different people. And so I always tell people, that's why when I meet new girls, I just say, go to Porn Star Life Coach and read everything you can read, listen to the podcast, do everything. Fill your brain, if that's the only way you're going to be successful, is like just to understand. Otherwise, you're just going to get used and tossed aside, and then you'll bitch and complain. People won't want to hire you. You're annoying. Go away. Like, because there's a million girls. I always say there's a million girls. I want to work with the girls that are nice, show up on time, professional. Like Layla talked about, being a professional. That's who you want to work with, right? You don't want to work with, I don't care how hot a girl is.
There's not a lot out there in print, but you just brought up name Phoenix Marie. We actually pass around Phoenix's 101 guide to anal, which recently she told me is not, it's gender free. So anybody can use it. But whenever we have a gal who, a model who's decided she wants to do anal, that's one of the things we definitely guide her to, because well-written, well done, experienced person who's done it before.
Exactly.
And Jonathan actually came up with one as well. Early on in our incarnation, I guess, ex-critic asked him if he'd write him a 10 things to do.
A blog.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we actually use Moe's. We still, to this day, use Moe's 10 items to have in your bag.
Yeah.
I took our one of our gals recently, Katie Kiss, out to do some shopping, and that lasted her months, absolute months. It's time now to rejuvenate that and make it, you know, something new.
You just have to be prepared.
There's guides.
But I always just tell girls all the time, and I've been around the business for over 25 years, and I tell girls all the time, if you want to be successful, let's take a successful girl is like a Phoenix Marie. Just how she approaches the business, the shoot day, to everything is very professional and very smart and very long-term, big picture. Like, she understands that if she does something that a person who is an AD that day, 6 months down the line, is directing a movie and will hire her because she was so nice and cool. And so it's like, I tell girls all the time, you gotta.
Oh, our biggest story of that, using that analogy, is with Mo. Yeah. We say, you never know, the guy that's helping you with wardrobe today is running a major company tomorrow.
Exactly.
So we tell these girls, again, you need to kill everyone with kindness. You need to give everyone the respect, because everyone there is a potential of increasing your wallet at one time
exactly.
or another.
Exactly. And it's like, that's why I write blog posts about be nice. Be nice always. I have a post going up tomorrow called Be Nice Please. Like, it's, I do it all the time. I've been saying this for my whole career. I just tell people all the time, you have to think long term, think big picture, and don't sit there and walk onto a set going, I don't give a fuck about you people. I just give me my money, let me do my scene and get the fuck out. I go, that attitude, you won't work.
We have, right. I actually have a girl specifically, and I don't like to use the term blacklist, but it was on a Jonathan Morgan set, and this was over a year ago, and I was dealing with wardrobe, and I was doing, you know, a bunch of different things, and it was such a miserable experience working with this girl, and she was such a pain in the ass that it was one of those things of that is all that I remember about her. And so if her name comes up on a list, I'm now in a position where I can go through and I can approve or not approve. I look at her and go, I don't know if she's changed. I've heard that she hasn't changed. I don't want her on my set. It's not, and I tell the director, this is the issues I had. This is the issues I've heard about. And she has no clue, and I'm not naming names, but she has no clue that over a year ago that she was such a pain in the ass on a set that she has lost multiple jobs because of just that.
I still
that.
Talk about her today. We still use her as an example today. The poor girl walked on a set thinking she was making an impression with one bad person. She basically hit an entire slew of people that and companies that will no longer want anything to do with.
And that's that small-minded thinking of just like they're thinking about today, and I'm like, you have to think about next week, next month, next year, next 10 years.
And to give you an example, real quickly, just that, you know, it wasn't just a bad attitude; it was a mountain slide of everything possible that could make your day go really, really bad. It was breakdown after breakdown. To just nothing you ever want to be around again. Yeah. So, I mean, it wasn't just one small thing. This was, she took the crown.
And I hope I see she's still working. I hope she's doing well. Maybe she's doing better at some point in time. Maybe I'm going to hear, oh, she's amazing now. She was going through a rough patch. And maybe I'll go, okay, maybe. But there's so many girls out there. I'm not really willing to.
There's so many girls, period. It's like, I was going to ask you guys. I always tell people, since we've been around this a long time, like, remember how many girls there were 25 years ago doing porn to compare to now?
Yeah. I mean, when I started, which was in 1990, there was, and I'm going extremely high, there was probably 300 girls.
Yeah.
And that's extremely high. Now there's 3,000 to 5,000. I mean, there's a new girl just coming every freaking day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every cam girl is now a porn star.
Right.
Yeah. You know, using that term very, very, very loosely.
But
every girl, and then they'll come in and go, oh, I'm going to do solo for two scenes and then go back to camming. Or, you know, and every one of them thinks that they can come out and do something. Right.
I've said it for 25 years. Every day, some girl turns 18 and wants to get naked and fuck for money. And every day, some boy turns 11 and wants to watch. So, and it's true, and it's the way it is beyond, and it's worked, and I've seen more girls now. I mean, I always tell people, like, go back to 1990, 91. There was a handful of, you know, contract girls, and then the stars, and there was like those.
But it's also, let's use that same analogy with the amount of talent back then to the amount of talent back today. Now let's flip it the other way. Back then in 1990, there was close to, again, going high, about 300 companies that were actually paying for sex.
Yeah.
Now, here we are in 2016, there's 30. So you got 10 times the amount of women with 10 times less companies.
Yeah.
And they're all fighting for it. And like I said, the range of, for most directors, what they're going to tolerate and what they won't tolerate is so small that it just takes one tiny thing. And that's it. It's like, and I will never use you again. Yeah. So it's almost, I mean, the pressure on, you know, like when your parents used to always tell you, you only have one chance to make a first impression. Every chance is that first impression. So you have to be perfect every time. That's a lot of pressure on somebody who, a lot of the times, technically, this is either their first, if not their second job in life.
Yeah.
So
and that's why, like, a lot of the girls,
no clue.
When I meet the younger girls these days, the 18-year-olds and the 19-year-olds, and I always tell them, like, God, you guys just, it's got a lot of growing up to do. And so you better listen. And my motto is, if you don't listen, you don't learn. And I always say, when I was 18, I didn't listen to anybody. So I understand your mentality of you don't want to listen to me. But you might want to if you want to be successful and to be around. And that's why I always refer them to go talk to a girl that's been in the business, like a Phoenix Marie. And Phoenix will just lay it down for them straight up. If you keep doing this shit, you ain't going to end up anywhere. And Jada's the same way. Jada's like, I get her to preach to certain people as well. Just getting them to understand, it's all business. It's business first. I always tell people, it's not the porn business. It's the business of porn. Business is always first. And any company, you guys are going to spend money. You know, you want to work with the people that make you happy, the people that are going to come up and show up and do the job and make your day easy. Why would you want to work with people that are idiots?
Now, how often, because obviously every talent, male, female, in between, everybody is going to have off times. Everybody's going to have a bad day, a bad week, maybe a bad month. There's going to be fluctuations in looks. There's going to be weight gain. There's going to be weight loss. There's going to be all of these issues that just come on with life. There's going to be good periods, bad periods. There's going to be periods where there's a ton of work, and there's going to be periods where there's no work. How often are you guys ending up being a therapist to your talent, you know, getting them through these periods of time? And how difficult is it to explain, you know, sweetheart, you've put on 10 pounds. People have noticed. You need to go lose it. You're not getting work because of this. Or how much therapy do you give your talent to make sure that they make it through all of this?
We absolutely prepare them as best as possible. We'll go with the, because you shot out so many different scenarios, one being weight, one being you're not working as much. So let me start with one of the things that we always prepare our girls with is this, because this has been a steady, tried and true situation that happens in porn all the time. And one of those things is this, the porn business slows down so dramatic between November to after the award show in January, that we try to tell these girls, listen, your work is going to drop off significantly. So when we're talking to you, here we are in, you know, February, March, April, like a squirrel gathering nuts for the winter, you need to have some money that you're going to put aside. Because if you do not prepare now, when that time comes, and it happens directly after Thanksgiving, Then it starts to slow down all the way up until Christmas. Then it almost comes to a grinding halt from Christmas all the way up until New Year's. Then it's a small trickle from New Year's to the award show. And then after the award show, then it goes back on gangbusters again. So we try to let them know you're going to have a dramatic drop-off. So you need to have some either some money stored away or other outlets that you could use to generate money. But if this is going to be your sole thing between those periods and you have not a nickel to spare, it's going to be a very tough, tough time. And so, again, I can tell them that. Whether they want to do it is something else. What we find is with Andre and I just last year, we had this conversation with all the girls at the beginning of 2015. And sure enough, come December, we had one of two things. Half of them were like, "Whoo, thank you for letting us know that this, so we, because we put some money away and we prepared." And then the other half are on the couch going, "Why don't I have money for rent? I don't know. Did you not want to listen?"
Oh, I hear that stuff all the time. All the time. I tell girls all the time, like I ask them all the time, like, "How long have you been in the business?" And they go, 2 years, 3 years. I'm like, "How much money do you have in the savings account?" And they just go, "Oh, I got like a couple thousand." I'm like, "Really? Really?"
Yeah.
I go, "You should have at least $10,000 for each year you're in the business in the savings account."
Andre pushes them even harder. Andre says, he goes, your number one goal to start off with is figure out how much it costs for you to live per month. And I want to see you with 3 months. Yeah. Once you've at 3 months, talk to me because I'll tell you what stage two is.
Exactly.
That's Unfortunately, no one's gotten to talk to him about stage two.
Yeah, no, I deal with that a lot too. All of my friends, and I keep an eye through the years. I just tell them all, like, it can be a very profitable business, but you just have to be smart about it and save your money. And so many girls that either have some loser boyfriend they give all their money to, or they just turn around and they just like to shop and have things because they think the money will never end. And the next thing you know, they have like nothing. And it's so depressing for me. It's like so depressing.
Another point you made there was therapist. And, you know, we take on the responsibility knowing that a lot of these girls are not from Los Angeles area, don't have the connections or contacts or wherewithal where to find a place to live or you know, the means of transportations, let alone things to do. You got to keep them active as well because if they're just sitting idly by at home in four walls, they go crazy.
smoking and weed and playing video games, mm-hmm. doing Snapchat.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Snapchat.
Shaking their ass on Instagram. Oh, wait, I'm talking about Jada Stevens. Never mind.
Oh, so talking about that, say Instagram and the things that you do. Now, I remember early on, and I'm not sure how much this has changed or if it did change or if it's still happening, and I'm just not sure. You guys were promoting that not only are you doing dealing with the talent and getting them work, but also the publicity aspect of it, making it around a well-rounded thing where you guys were doing brand. And, you know, helping create the porn star, if you will, create the whole around thing where a lot of agents think that their job is, here's where you go, here's your information, now you're done. Now, are you guys still doing that more as a publicity machine as well? Is that?
Oh, we absolutely know that. And again, going off of the thing that we previously talked about, how there is just 10 times the amount of talent that is now here as opposed to several years ago. So with that, it's really tough for if you're going to stick out. One of the things is that you got to create a name and a brand way quicker than what it was, say, back in the 1990s, when you could almost take 3 or 4 years to finally get to that porno mountaintop, so to speak. Now, you have 3 or 4 months, so you got to get there as quickly as possible for you to stand out, for you to get recognized. Beautiful case in point, Abella Danger. Okay, here's a girl who, in a very short period of time, was able to catapult up there, and now everybody knows who she is. Okay, that's what it's kind of that type of philosophy where you got to get up there as quickly as possible. So we show them the tools on how to get up there using the social media and using all of the connections that you have at your fingertips. Because back when in the 1990s, or as I like to say, back in the dinosaur age when I started.
back when there was VHS.
Yeah, we didn't have a thing called internet. What is that? That's witchcraft. Here you have an ability to where you can get your name and your likeness and your brand out to millions of people. Both Andre and I, we are constantly trying to tell our girls, when you get into the porn business, if all you're thinking is, all I have to do is be the best when it comes to sex, that is only 1/10 of what it takes to become a porn star. And again, I use that term loosely. there's invisible quotes on my fingers. But you have to really, it is a business. You are constantly having to, be on top of things. I always say, the toughest day of being a porn star is when you're not on set, because you should be constantly going through your things of, here's my stuff for Twitter, here's my stuff for Instagram, here's my stuff for Snapchat. You should always be constantly preparing yourself. Plus, we also found out just recently, and this is a big advocate that Andre loves to teach, or not teach, but, explain to the girls and hopefully they will follow suit, is that there is money to be made in affiliate programs that are connected to these social things like, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. And if you start associating, connecting them together, when you send out a tweet and have it somehow linked to an affiliate link, now you're having an opportunity to not only have people recognize you, but it can also make you money,
How many times do you hear that we don't get royalties in this industry? So now there's an opportunity to create your own royalties. Yeah. And it's a lost opportunity for so many that, we put a step-by-step. One of our girls, Cleo Valentin, does really well with that every month. And she did that before Next Level. But because we're such a small, intimate group of models, she shares it with us in order to share with everybody else. And since then, that's all I've been doing, is making sure that everybody knows. If you're going to promote another company, if you're going to promote your scenes, get affiliated. Make sure that you're making money well past the time that you earn that one day.
And this is a great example of that, again, talking about the difference that separate, the agents from a guy who just picks up the phone and says hello. Because that's what I associate all the other ones do. Because they don't do anything other than pick up a phone. It's when you start to take time to educate the people that you're representing, the clients that pay you, to make sure that you further their career. Wouldn't you want to make sure that you have somebody that is constantly giving the advice, the guidance, and the overall management so that you have these opportunities? I always try to tell the girls this. Andre and I will always make sure that we will show you different ways of and different opportunities to help increase your wallet, your brand, and your name. if you're not going to take them, if it's just kind of like the Peanuts cartoon, you know, womp, 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 then you're not going to go very far. Yeah. Okay.
I agree.
Now, you guys did something that I was actually kind of surprised that you did. And I want to go through and give two experiences. There's only a couple agencies that don't, but you decided to represent a guy. And recently, I've been on two different sets where I've had an agent take and push a new guy. And I've had completely polar opposite experiences with this. Now, Lucas Frost, I believe, correct?
Yes, you are correct.
Came on set, and he'd only done...
So you represent... One guy. Okay. So you should represent Mo.
Yeah.
You should audition for them, Mo.
I should. I think I can get in. I have some influence. So he came on the set. He did a great job. He was, you know, we were completely happy, and he will be hired again and have no issues. We had from another agency, the agent pushed a guy on us. We decided to give him a chance. Okay, sure. Why not? And turned out to be the biggest douchebag I have ever been on set with. I have never called an agency and complained about a girl. I'm sorry, a talent. Let's go with a girl. Typically, I've never had to call an agency and complain about a guy. I called this agency, spoke to one person for a few minutes about this, and then the owner of the agency contacted me the next day, and I spoke another 5 minutes about how bad this guy was. Now, you guys as directors know that it's always a risk with new guys on set. There's always that chance that you're going to have wood problems, you know, just too much pressure. Why did you choose to take on a new guy? And as directors and agents at the same time, do you have a little bit of a conflict of, would you hire a new guy, and why are you, and how are you pushing a new guy?
Well, let me just take this real quick. And I definitely want Andre to chime in after I'm done. Is one of the things that I love about our agency and being partnered with Andre is I always tell people, even though our core values are exactly the same, and those core values are, we started up an agency to really make sure that the people that wanted to get into the adult business were given the best opportunity and the best management and the best guidance so that they could succeed. That's our core value. We start to differ on a couple of things, this being one in particular. When we started with starting off with girls, I wanted to also start off with guys. Andre was not a big fan of that because, you know, I'm sure that, and again, I'll let him speak, but I'm sure he had misconceived, you know, again, you're rolling the dice on a guy. First off, it's extremely tough to get a guy on the set. Okay, if you have between a cute girl and a cute guy, a cute girl will be given a ton of latitude when it comes to, yeah, she didn't perform that great, but she's new and she's gorgeous. We'll give her another chance. Let her season up a little bit. With a guy, it's almost like a baseball term. If you don't hit a home run, you are out. There is nothing less than home run or nothing. So it is a ton of pressure. So when it came to representing a guy, Andre and I would go back and forth about, yes, let's start, no, let's not start. We have a firm rule over at Next Level between Andre and I, which is this. If we do not both agree on a subject, then that's whatever that subject might be, we do not move forward. It's either we have to be completely in sync with each other for us to move forward with anything. And it crosses a gambit of many different things, what we tell our clients, to the type of information that we're giving them, to the type of service that we're providing. We always make sure that we are completely in sync. It's almost like, in a weird quasi way, kind of like the best parenting skills are the ones where both husband and wife agree exactly. So with that being said, I was having talks with Lucas before we even decided to represent him. And I explained to him, and didn't even sugarcoat it. I said, listen, if we were to move forward, there would basically be our way or no way. It's really one of those things. If you have to follow exactly what we're going to say, there's no variation. There's no, well, maybe. It's either everything, A, B, C. And so when he convinced me to a point where I felt that he was really sincere and saying, I will absolutely follow you. If you say jump off a cliff, I jump off a cliff. So I turned to Andre, and one of the things that I've always said is when we started this business, we both had a what I call that, you know, get out of jail. This, I'm going to, even though you might say no and I might say yes, and we've already made that establishment, unless we both agree, it's not going to move forward. I can pull this one card and say, but I'm going to get my way. This was me basically pulling out my one card. Let me have this one chance to try something. And so before he even reached your set, Mo, this is what I did behind the scenes. And I didn't make any announcement. We didn't put it on Twitter. We didn't put it out on our website. I had this guy doing multiple scenes for what I call a lot of, I don't want to say lower end, but what I call the minor league baseball.
I was just going to say the minor league.
Yeah. And so I basically turned in my friend card with a lot of these directors who I was to say, please, I need you to do me a solid. And if this thing doesn't work out, I will, you know, compensate you for whatever money you might be out. Now, these are guys that basically, it's really, here's a couch, girl walks to the left, guy walks to the right. Hey, now they're having sex. I mean, we are talking bare bones, nothing exciting. So I had this kid doing multiple scenes there just to make sure that he was comfortable in front of the camera. Once I got that established, then I started teaching him things as far as the set etiquette, which is completely different set etiquette for a man as opposed to set etiquette for a woman. So I started teaching him those things. Once I felt that he was able to absorb everything and actually make an impact, only then, and we're talking several months, Mo, before you even heard of him, it was only then that I then called you up and said, I have this guy. Because I wanted to make sure that what you were going to get, because every director, every producer knows, every time a new guy comes on set, it's a 99.9% epic fail waiting to happen. And so if I was going to put my name, and more importantly, the company's name that Andre and I represent on the line, it had to be home run or nothing.
Now, it turned out in this case, I am very, very, very conservative about talent that I will suggest. I will recommend girls a lot easier than I'll recommend guys. And especially for a new guy, the director, you happened to speak to this director who said, okay, I'll give him a shot. I was definitely more on the side of let's give him a few months and see how he does and see what reputation comes up. That was my opinion. He came out, he did a great scene. So in this case, this director worked out. It worked out well for us. Everything was great.
And I don't fault you, Mo, because that's the way you should be thinking, because every agent, again, we're going back to look at the source that you're getting it from. All you're seeing is an agent who did not take the time and the effort and the months in advance of preparation. Every agent goes, hey, this guy looks good. Let's put him on. He says he fucks like a rock star in the bedroom and his girlfriend gave me an affidavit, so it must be fucking true. And then when they fail, they go, oh, God, we didn't know that. See, I can't have that.
Yeah.
I mean, imagine if you will, if you just, again, being on a set is extremely costly, both in finance as well as time. So imagine if you're buying something and you're going, it has to be perfect right out of the box, only to find that it's missing parts, it doesn't work, it's leaking fluids. I mean, so that's why it was really important that when I sent this guy to you, that he had gone above and beyond already, so that I felt confident enough that I was not going to receive that phone call. But what I would like to do, only because I've only slightly heard the answer and I would like to elaborate more, is I'd like to hear Andre's view about that whole situation when we first started.
Mr. Madness, step to the microphone.
Jump in.
I'd like to take this time now to go to commercial. No, you know what, Lucas?
Known Lucas. For that commercial, and we're brought to you by Chipotle.
Chipotle, proud sponsor of More with Mo. I actually today on my ride over here, I was listening to NPR, and NPR is partially sponsored by Chipotle, and they have a long little 15-second little spiel about all the quality products and things like that. I need to memorize that, and I'll give Chipotle a little bit more of a shout-out. There's your commercial break.
Thank you very much. We're back. Jonathan did spearhead the heck out of this thing. I've known Lucas from day one. When we met Cassidy, they happened to be a couple, Cassidy Klein, and wonderful gentleman, really nice, very professional. That's exactly what we got. What I met in the beginning is what we have now, is a professional young man who, with the opportunity that he now has, honestly, I believe this time next year, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with. He's picking up jobs with the biggest companies and taking over jobs of some of the biggest talent who you know, don't show up.
Yeah.
So we're definitely definitely trying something different and new with Lucas Frost, and I couldn't be prouder. And the way it was handled, months, and this is part of the checks and balances we go through, where Jonathan explained exactly what he wanted to do and how he wanted to give it a go. So I figured as long as the name wasn't out there and we didn't have a notice, there was no potential failure in anything, and giving somebody an opportunity,
it would just kind of go. It would just go away. If there was a failure, nobody. It would be like, oh, okay.
It's kind of like the way I always tell everybody in my universe. I always say if you're going to launch a product, I always tell people when you first launch, you don't get on the soapbox and scream at the top of your lungs, "Look at me!" You get on the soapbox and you go, "Look at me!" And then 2-3 weeks later, after you've kind of worked out the kinks and figured it out, then you stand up and go, "Look at me." And I think, like you talked about, like the minor leagues, I think that's like all talent should have to go through that. There should be some sort of grooming period before you put them out there.
And I would agree with you completely to a certain point. Men and women are completely different. Women, when it comes to the sex part, again, most of the time, let's face it, it's not a hard thing, you know, put pole A into hole B. Right. This is not
personally. I always like it when they put into hole B, because I find that to be more entertaining.
Yeah, you don't like hole C, right?
So anyway, when it comes to a woman, one of the things that we are constantly, Andre and I are constantly trying to tell them, what will set them apart is. And we explain it to them. The sex that you're about to have on camera is 10 times different than the sex that you have at home. Forget the fact that you're in a more relaxed situation and you don't have, you know, 5 to 6 guys standing around looking at their watch going, "Ugh, I could be anywhere else." But more importantly is that you're not having to play your sex out to anybody. All you have to do is focus on the person that you're having sex with. That's at home. On set, the last thing you want to do is focus with the person that you're having sex with. It's all about focusing on the camera so that the viewer can live vicariously through the person you're having sex with.
This is where make love to the camera comes in handy.
Exactly. So that's what we teach the girls when it comes to how they should have sex. What we're trying to teach the guys, or guy, because we only have one, is when it comes to you need to mentally prepare yourself that you are basically going to have a woman there who you could easily have your mind trick you into believing she doesn't care to have sex with me because she's never even going to make eye contact with you. That's not her job, is to stimulate you. Her job is to make sure that the viewer watching this is so turned on. Your job is a prop. That dick has to be hard. Okay? So you have to get yourself into a mental state where you are basically turning yourself on constantly with the least amount of visual stimulation.
So I have one last question. You guys have now been running the agency for over a year. What is, and this is for both of you, what is the most positive thing about running an agency, and what is the most negative thing about running an agency?
The negative has got to be putting up with you, right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Getting his phone call.
Oh, shit. Andre, you get to go first.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm going to hit the negative first and end in a positive. Negative is a stigma of most agencies that put out there. Not every agency has got a bad stigma, but several do. And when you're starting off trying to do business with people and they see you as just another agency, that's a huge negative. It's a huge hole in the wall. They feel like, oh, well, I've dealt with so many other piss poor service agencies that you're just another one. So that would be a negative. Of course, I believe we've shattered every aspect of their concept of it after dealing with this. One of them is just no booking fee. Yeah. No. So I mean, it's just that right there has been a real positive for us as well. So.
Yeah, and that sounds like a very director thing. Because directors hate paying more money and they hate giving money to agencies. So it's one of those things of going, wait, I don't have to give money to an agency? Sure, yeah. Why not?
But what are you giving it for? To look on their website?
Yeah.
To give you the improper information the day before?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely...
What are you doing it?
I've had positives with agencies. I've had negatives with agencies. And at the end of the day, I find it usually easier to deal with an agent than dealing with a girl directly. because there's it's always a risk when you deal with a girl directly. You never know if that phone is going to, somebody's going to pick up that phone. You never know if that morning and there's no one else to call. Her phone's not being picked up and she's late to set. There's no one else to call. There is no replacement off that. You then go to another girl.
So you're that's just worth done. That's worth the $100 extra.
It's not my money, so I say sure, why not? Jonathan, how about you? Negative, positive?
I would say this. One of the things that Andre and I, when we first started this business, is that what we wanted to do was to change the landscape of how adult agents should be doing business. I'd like to say that there's, and I've seen it, there's been some effects that how we do things, others are now doing it. So for that, that's a definite positive, because I'm turning a negative way that used to drive me crazy. Now they're changing their ways of doing it into becoming a little bit more reliable and you know, more business-like. The thing that I like the most for our thing, and again, this is back to our core values, which was to change, manage, and guide the careers of people that would receive value from it. And the biggest thing, the biggest compliment, just came last year at the award show. The first girl that we ever signed up when we first started this, there was three people, me, Andre, and Cleo Valentin. That's all it was when Next Level first started. Cleo Valentin came to us. She had been in the business for 3 years. She had, all she was known as, oh yeah, you're that tattooed girl that we see on Burning Angel stuff. Now, here we have a girl who just got her first award for an Axel Braun movie, Batman versus Superman. She's one of the most sought-after girls. And we did, my mission, or I should say our mission, was accomplished when we constantly get people calling us up saying, whenever I hire Cleo, I don't see tattoos anymore. And that was always our mission, is to change people's perception of how it was always preconceived, oh, she has tattoos, so she's less than. Now we have it, wow, those tattoos make her unique and separate her from everybody else that don't have tattoos. So,
well, one thing I just want to end again with that positive is the amount of lives and the personalities we've met. Every individual has been a real positive in both our lives, and we just it's one of the happiest things we've had. So,
very nice. Well, Jonathan, Andre, I appreciate you guys coming out, talking about the agency. Why don't you give me the lowdown? Where can producers find you guys out there in the interwebs?
Well, we have one of the world's easiest web address, which is nextlevel.com. Next is spelled with three X's, you know, to represent.
Why is that?
To represent the adult.
So triple X represents adult. Okay, I got that.
Okay, so
Mo triple X on Twitter.
So nextlevel.com is where you would find us, and then from there it's
also Twitter, yeah. Which is also Next Level.
Also at Next Level on Twitter.
Very Are you nice. On Instagram?
Yes, it's next_level.
And MySpace?
Yes.
Friendster?
Classmates.com.
AOL chat board.
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn, yes, of course.
Well, thank you guys so much. Mr. Avery, where can your followers find you?
That's a good question. I have no idea.
We're not plugging this week?
No, we'll plug pornstarlifecoach.com.
There we go. Mentioned it a few times. Everybody should take a look. My name is Maurice. This has been More with Mo. You can find me on Twitter at MoXXX or Mox, as some people like to call me. You can find me on Instagram, The Average Mo. The podcast is all over the place now. We're on SoundCloud. We're on iTunes. And if you want to check out everything, if you want to see my photos, videos, and listen to the show, go to TheAverageMo.com. Thanks for listening.